weeks ago, a radio station asked me on air for 15 minutes. And the question was, when you build a golf course in the forest, would you reduce all the oxygen produced by trees? I simply use the data we've been used for many years, a home loan, but oxygen produced can supply 4-member families for oxygen supplies. Turf grasses do produce oxygen. So, the reason I brought the story, public perceptions, not just for nitrogen, it's beyond nitrogen, we have to face it. Once again, thanks to the committee, appreciate the opportunity. I would like to take this opportunity to thank my former major professor, a fine human being, an individual, actively involved with C5 for 30 years. For those folks, probably you still remember him. And I wish him he'd be here. And hopefully we spend some time this Christmas. Many thanks to a number of my graduate students for their work, their hard work, and their contribute to this presentation. This is what I'm going to do this afternoon. I'm going to talk a little bit about challenges to convey the resources and the practices. And we'll do some reality check. Also talk some areas related to nitrogen as resources and the resources needed. Also, holiday is at the corner, we'll make a wish list. Nitrogen fertilization is very important, and the most important resources, of course, us, people, practitioners, superintendents, managers, researchers, writers, reporters, all of us, but of course, that's not the topic we're going to focus on today. The three challenges I would like to present, number one is the resources for other crops, plants. They're available. Of course, rice feed more than 3 billion people on this earth. Okay, the rest of the wheat and others feed the rest of the population. Of course, that's the priority to study. There are many, many tons of literature on nitrogen study on them. However, I always feel our turf grass is only about half or 0.45 step behind. But that's okay. That's where we are. We have to face it. The increased expenses and challenges for management, such as unfamiliar products, labor-intensive practices. For example, you change from granular fertilizers to liquid fertilizers. You have to apply more frequently, so you use more labor. Also, obtaining proper knowledge and information by practitioners sometimes difficult. Everybody focuses on their internet. They have problem, they go to internet instead to talk to extension specialists. Sometimes they got the wrong information. For last year or so, and particularly last several months, I've been focusing to search some literature, and there are over 100 turf science books, golf course management books, sports turf, turf pest management books, and also 2 monographs produced by C5, and they all talk about nitrogen issues. Since 1990, there are probably more than 200 nitrogen-related peer-reviewed publications directly related to nitrogen subjects. There are hundreds of theses, dissertations on turfgrass nutrition or nitrogen-related since 1950s. So, let's ask some questions. Do turfgrass practitioners, including turfgrass managers, golf course superintendents, and their assistants, their staff, read those publications? For turfgrass books, the answer is yes. This is all nothing really scientific. I didn't do any survey. By my observation, by my experience, they do read books. Do they read peer-reviewed publications? Some might do that, but not very common. Thesis dissertations, even for all of us, we have certain limitation to get all the thesis dissertations published. So I'll assume that's a limit access for the practitioners. Then what did practitioners do? Really read trade magazines, state extension publications, online informations. That's really, really handy. And sometimes problem orientated. They just go to online and search their answers. So, the major peer-reviewed journals, turfgrass research publications, not including foreign and non-English journals, probably with nitrogen related, probably ITS Research Journal, Online Applied Turfgrass Physiology, International Sports Turf Conference Proceedings, so we're going to have a second one come along. This is a pure 100% focus on turfgrasses, all cover turfgrass and nitrogen related topics. Other journals, Crop Science, Agronomy Journal, Horticulture Science, the Journal for the American Society for Horticulture Sciences, Hort Technology, Journal of Plant Nutrition, Journal of Soil Sciences Society of America, Journal of Environmental Quality, and more. There are more journals published out of turf information. I would like to mention a couple issues of journal for Journal of Experimental Botany. I'm sure some of you have been aware of those. Those two particular issues just focus on nitrogen. And there are a lot of updated information and good quality review articles. So, what's the resources for convening the science and nitrogen use and proper nitrogen fertilization practices? For the last several months, I'm trying to summarize the sermon. You don't have to agree with me, but I try to think about it as completely as possible for myself. And turfgrass nitrogen use efficiency and further reduce input to turfgrass areas, as the previous speakers mentioned about it, including most intensive maintained turfgrass area, for example, putting greens, fairways, sports turf areas. This is the priority. We still need to target the area and see the further improve turfgrass nitrogen use efficiency, in other words. Secondly, nitrogen application techniques, including foliar adsorbed nitrogen, much enhanced the environmental stewardship, and minimize and losses from all kinds of turf soil ecosystems. And the fertilizer sources specified for turfgrass use and the controlled release nitrogen. Force my turfgrass nitrogen use under different environmental and biological stresses and enhancement. Use for efficiency for turfgrasses under these stresses, and this is the area we really need to touch on, and a lot more research topics can be generated in that area. Turfgrass nitrogen use in relation to other applied materials such as plant growth regulators, biostimulants, and other interactions with soil and environmental factors, genetic improvement and the physiological understanding in end-use efficiency for turfgrasses, and number seven, lastly, the importance of nitrogen sources for suitable management at the turfgrass species and the cultivar level. So let's focus on the first one. I'm not going to explore a lot of this due to time restrictions. We're trying to push to the minimum level for our management, for example, for putting greens. I heard the superintendents, I heard the colleagues across the country, they're trying to push to 1 pound, 1.5 pound, less than 2 pounds a year nitrogen for application. People are trying to do that. As far as the turfgrass as plants, in general, the nitrogen use efficiency uptake is pretty good. As Dr. Bowman mentioned, the uptake efficiency, the maximum uptake, grass is doing a great job. But really, lower the efficiency due to the clipping removal. For padding greens, for playability, we have to remove the clippings. Okay. Here's a plot we did the research on it, and for a whole year, all these are the plots. Okay, on your, the plots on your left, those are the fertilizer plot. Due to the boundary effect, those plots, we didn't put any fertilizer the whole season. This is October, okay, after aerification. First of all, you didn't see the differences for those aerification holes being filled in. Usually nitrogen helps to fill those holes in. So for the whole year, for this is L93 bentgrass, didn't fertilizer, mid of October, very active growth season for. It looks pretty good, actually. And of course, it's not the best, but it's still in the margin can be used. Of course, you may wonder for some warm season grasses, for example, Bermuda grass, All right, you don't put any fertilizer. Of course, this is bad. We didn't put fertilizer for quite a long time. You see that right there? It's the kind of brown region right there. And of course, that's not acceptable, but really show us the minimum situation for turf grasses. Of course, I cannot give specific the horizontal movement for nitrogen or anything like that, but I assume there's not significant horizontal movement here. Here's the home lawn in Atlanta under shading conditions. And there is waiting for this house owner, and the lawn didn't look good in June. All right, we developed the ideas, my wife's friend, so I asked my graduate student and mail me a bottle of grass dye. And I was in Atlanta during the weekend, I got it. And 30 minutes, that's prepared for wedding. So the idea, change your turf color, not necessarily just nitrogen. There are many, many methodologies there. A former graduate student did a study on champion Bermuda grass. Use a 3 wreaths of nitrogen, 5 pounds, 10 pounds, and 15 pounds nitrogen annually. Obviously, you see the differences with nitrogen. As a matter of fact, from the textbook, nitrogen rate increased. Of course, the thatch will be accumulated more. As a matter of fact, for 2 years period of time, we only find one date we have significant difference for thatch accumulation. This is a study, of course, this is a particular case study in Kingston, Rhode Island. I was involved, particularly mainly work with Dr. Hall, as a matter of fact. We did 5 years for this home run study for Kentucky bluegrass. This is pretty much the nitrogen budget for that home run Kentucky bluegrass. 58% of nitrogen removed from clippings, 35% still stay in the system, 5% pretty much leach lost, 1.5 lost by denitrification, and 0.5% lost by ammonia volatilization. Of course, this is a particular case. It's a homing, the loaming soil, and also the fertilizer, 50% was a slow release of fertilizers. So now it's holiday season. My wish list come along. Wish list number one, recycle the nutrients of clippings on potting greens. I know that's almost impossible. Some people will say, Hyper, you're crazy. Probably, this is the deal, ball throw distance. And somehow, some way along the line, I don't know, that may be an issue. And the steaming reading, that's a big deal. Secondly, I'm going to talk a little bit about the nitrogen using relation to other materials, including plant growth regulators, biostimulants, interactions with other soil and environmental factors. As a former student did the work in the greenhouse with nitrogen input and with annual input of 24 kilogram per hectare, and compare with half that with Primo application, obviously on your right. The turf grass use half of nitrogen, but it gets not much dark color. You may say, oh, this is under greenhouse condition. This is in the field. They did the field study. Now, obviously, you can probably can tell on your left side it's a little greener, and with a Primo. So let's move on. Application techniques, including foliar resorb nitrogen and much enhanced environmental stewardship in minimize nitrogen losses from all kinds of turf soil systems. As I mentioned those different areas, there are a lot of literatures available there. Foliar resorb, and there are a few topics in the wake, talk about either research on nitrogen rate and nitrogen sources, not all types of turf grasses affect foliar resorb and affect by those many factors. This is a little literature review for different crops in addition to turf. For soil applied, the nitrogen recovery, as a matter of fact, is not dramatically high, 16%, 40%, 10%. For foliar applied, the highest recorded was 99% on tomato plant, 30% for corn. A turf grasses range from 30 to 60%, maybe even higher for more recent literature. Also this morning has a very good presentation on the turf grass cuticles. The cuticle layer, the thickness of the cuticle layer is very critical, very important. In addition to that, those cracks, okay, all called micropores, that's the really the nitrogen penetrate through to get into the plants, being absorbed by plants, and go to nitrogen assimilation. Best study here, a study compare the differences for the grasses use liquid nitrogen, granular nitrogens, and we use a low rate, 1.9 pounds of liquid nitrogen compared to 2.7 granular nitrogen, that's more than 30% of differences, and 1.9 liquid, 100% liquid fertilization do much better job, all the same job as the 2.7 granular, as granular for 2 years. This is a 2 years data. A similar situation for TV gobermitter grass. And if you compare with the 4.0 pounds of a liquid fertilizer for annual rate compared to 5.6 pounds of a granular liquid fertilizers. Overall, be very careful with the foliage moisture or water surface moisture, because a lot of foliar applications can cause a runoff, really getting into roots. Next one, fertilizer sources specified for turf grass use and the controlled release nitrogen. Of course, there are some examples. We have some burning examples, and we have grasses like this, and then we, during the middle of summer, we use ammonium nitrate, we can burn the turf. And on purpose, the superintendent practices on their nursery, they also burn that, and that's on purpose. Use the potassium nitrate, use the double rate on your right, and the grass will turn yellow. Not necessarily killed, but it's pretty bad. So my wish list number two, hope a slow release foliar fertilizers be available, do exist. Theoretically, probably that's impossible, but it's my list, it's my wish list. Granular fertilizers, of course, and after the application, the first mowing, always pick up quite amount, a significant amount of foliar fertilizers. That's what are my assumptions about our studies for 2 years. Probably there are quite a few granular fertilizers being picked up that mowing, because we always use a basket to collect the clippings. So that's generally to wish list number three, without losing any granular fertilizer during mowing after fertilization. Mowing have negative impacts to fertilization. We have to realize that. I'm kind of run out of time. I'll keep speed up a little bit. Turf grass nitrogen used under different environmental and biological stresses and enhancement of nitrogen use efficiency of turf grass under these stresses. That's a big area need to be emphasized, further studied. Just use a couple of examples. Those golf courses, under such a situation, putting greens, obviously you have a really unfavorable conditions for nitrogen uptake. What do we need to do? So my wish list number four, I wish every practitioner and a researcher knows the right end source and the rate to apply when the turf is under particular stress and when nitrogen is really needed. Genetically improved and physiological understanding and use efficiency for turf grasses. There are many, many other studies, but so far we don't have a lot going on with turf grasses. There are a lot going on since 16 years ago, the world first gene B isolated, identified for nitrogen transporters, and I think this time probably moved to turf grass. That generated my wish list number five. Genes and functions related to nitrate ammonia transporters, like Dr. Bowman mentioned, has less for turf gases. We need to work on that. We heard a lot of foliar studies and the urea's functions. When the urea is being absorbed, or identified urea is a favorable nitrogen source being absorbed, when urea is absorbed, that's not the end of story. The urea must be hydrolyzed to ammonia, then go back to nitrogen assimilation. In that process, urea's functions are very critical. From different grasses, that the urease functions need to be studied. The importance of the nitrogen sources for the suitable management at the turf grass species level and cultivar level. That's my last one. And generate my list number three. Under each turf grass species, I hope we know the top three cultivars with the greatest nitrogen use efficiency. Unfortunately, we don't have that. Wish list number 7, if you can even get a half a list, would that be cool? For the young graduate students, researchers, don't feel nitrogen is a boring area, stay on. My past 20 years experiences are quite rewarding and enjoyable. Thank you very much. Happy holidays.